time. I'm going to ask you to do what we do every single Sunday morning, which is stand to your feet. God has been faithful and God has been so good to you. There are times throughout your week that I'm sure that you wanted to just stop, that you wanted to give up, that it looked too hard, that it looked too rough, that it looked like it was going to take you under, that you wanted to just say, God, I can't do this, not one more moment. But I want to tell you right now that you're able to stand and God gave you the ability to do it. And so what I want you to do right now is brush all of that stuff off. Every single lie that the devil has told you this week, every single bit of discouragement, every single thing that God said, hey, you can do it, but the devil said, no, you can't do it. This is the thing that's going to take you under. I'm going to ask you right now to begin to lift that off of you. God wants to take that burden off of you. Lord God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you would go down every single aisle. Daddy God, I ask you to search every single heart. Lord, right now to the heart that needs peace, God, I call down peace right now in Jesus' name. God, you said that you needed a binder. God, you said you needed a looser. Right now in Jesus' name, I bind up every single hindrance on this service. I bind up distraction. I bind up addiction in this place right now. I speak to pornography. I tell it to come off of your children right now in Jesus' name. I speak to alcoholism. I tell it to go right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every street in this town that's saturated in drugs, God, I ask for an exposure right now. Lord, every drug dealer, God, that's selling drugs to people, God, that's selling them to our children, Lord, I ask that you would save them. God, I ask that you would expose them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every single person under the sound of my voice, God, I ask that you would give them somebody, God, that you have for them. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do in this service. God, I hand it over to you right now in Jesus' name, amen. I'm excited about what God is doing in this service. I thank God for everything and every person. I want to tell a very special thank you to every person that comes and serves in Parish Christian Center every single week. Church doesn't go on without serving. You are saved to serve. You are blessed to be a blessing, and God has helped you so you could help others. If God has healed you in this place, He's healed you so you could help somebody else. Life is not just about you. Life is about what you can do for other people. If you will turn your eyes on the living God, God will turn His eyes on you, and He'll say, what does this person need in their life? See, the heart is deceitful, and above all things, who can really know it? See, we don't know our heart. We think we do. And we make emotional decisions based off of what we think that our heart knows and what our heart feels. But that heart of yours is deceptive. It'll tell you things. And I'm going to tell you that feelings are not facts. Feelings will get you in trouble. So don't be led by your feelings. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That was not a part of the message, but it was now. I'm actually talking about it's okay to ask God for help. Ask God for help. Ask Him for help. The Word says that you have not because you ask not. I love this music. I'm pretty sure this music is 30 years old. I mean, I'm ready to preach with it if you guys want me to. I mean, I will roll with just about anything. They don't call me Pastor Real Deal for nothing. I will go with it. We will go with the flow. It is okay to ask God for help. It is okay to ask God for help. Now, before I begin to deliver this message, I'm going to ask you to check a couple things. Number one, if you need to go to the bathroom, if you're a kid in here and you need to go to the bathroom, I know this is unpolitically correct and I know I'm on live, but see, I don't care about that. We're going to have the Holy Spirit here today, so I'd prefer to have Him here instead of everything else going on. If you got to go to the bathroom, go to these doors, and if you need to go, I don't want you to go now. Okay? I know I'm a pushy Southern belle. I can't help it. And if you have a cell phone on, I'm going to appreciate and ask you to turn that thing on vibrate. And I'll tell you why I do that, Brother John, because your pastor is like a squirrel. And I don't need any help getting me distracted. I'm going to try my best to stay right on point today. Like these shoes that I decided I want to wear, and I thought at the moment they were a good idea. Here we are. Anyhow, let's go to Psalms chapter 121. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 8. I hope that you brought your word in here today. I want to tell you that it's not enough for me to sit here and to preach to you for an hour. If you're relying on me to be all of the Jesus that you're going to get in a week, you're going to have some problems. You need to get into your word, and you need to read the word till the word begins to read you. And when it begins to read you, you need to open up that heart, and you need to say, God, help me apply the word to my life. The word says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're a hearer, I'm going to encourage you to be a hearer and a doer. Ask God for help. Ask him. Ask him. A lot of people, they don't like to ask for help. Some people feel guilty when they have to ask for help. Some people feel like they're belittled when they have to admit that they need help with something and they can't do it all on their own. Some people feel bad about asking God for help because they feel like they've messed up so much in their life and God's helped them already so much they shouldn't ask him for another thing. Some people feel bad because they zigged when they should have zagged. Some people feel bad because they've been another disappointment yet again. I want to tell you, stop letting the devil whisper those things in your ear. I want to tell you the day that you have not gone too far. If you still have breath in your lungs, God still is waiting to be in your life. He is still ready to help you. He is still ready to save you. He is not mad at you. If you are mad at God in here today, I'm going to just encourage you to get over it. I'm not a pastor that can't keep it very real. I've been mad at God before. I've been mad at God before. I have questioned God before. Amen? I've been there. And what I can say is that God is still exactly who he says that he is. The word of God says, now whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. And you know what gets me unmad at God is that I know that at the end of the day, when the chips are down, when the only thing that I can count on is God, I best not be mad at him. Because everything in life will fail you. Now, I'm not a Debbie Downer, but I'm telling you that every single thing, Miss Gail, people that we love, they're going to fail us. Places that we love, they're going to hurt us. Things are going to happen. And what we have to do is we have to keep that communication line with God very open. Because, see, God is ready to be called upon. He is ready to help you. You have not gone too far. But if you're mad at him in here this morning, I want to tell you right now, that is a lie from Satan. Satan is trying to get up in there between you and God because look here, God wants you to call upon him and Satan wants you to be giving him the silent treatment. Now let me ask you this. I'm a spunky girl. When I used to get mad at folks, especially my family members and more specifically my sisters, I'm the baby of four girls. Babies are a different breed altogether. And I used to just give my sisters the good old silent treatment. Till I realized that was not effective communication. They enjoyed it too much. Glory to God. I don't give them the satisfaction now. Look, the more angry I am, the more you're going to hear from me. Anyhow, if you are mad at God in here this morning, in all seriousness, I'm going to ask you right now, place it in your heart and tell God, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for holding that grudge against you. God, I know that you're only good for me. It's okay to ask God for help, and you need to ask God for help. Psalms chapter 121, we're going to start at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I have learned through being in the ministry for basically all of my life. Here's what I've learned. You can take every single word, every single line, word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. You can take everything that the Bible says. You can hang your life on every word. So when it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, I want to encourage you right now, if you're not somebody that likes to ask for help, get over yourself, because there's going to be times in your life you're going to need help. And to take it a step further, there's going to be times in your life the only thing, the only person that can help you is God. And if you've got your eyes on the situation, you've got them on the wrong thing. When the word says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? I want to encourage you right now, lift your eyes up. Lift your eyes up. Get them off of the problem. Get them off of the financial struggle. Get them off of the rebellious kid. Get them off of the marriage that ain't going good. Get them off of the sickness that you're enduring in your body, that you're wondering how did God let that happen. Get it off of that and get it on the living God. If you ain't done that, I want to tell you to stop right there and get your eyes in the right place. Get them where they need to be. A couple weeks ago, I walked into a business, and the devil was working very hard on my psyche. And Sister Melissa, I had my head down because in that moment I was feeling ashamed of some things that are of no fault of my own. And Gail, I kept having my head down, and God said, Kelly Mae, you lift your head up. You keep your head up. I want to tell you this morning, get your head up. Get your head up. Get your head up. I don't care if you've had your head down because of something you did wrong. I don't care. Get it up. Ask God to forgive you. Stop it. Drop it. Release it. And get your head up. Get your eyes focused on what they should be focused on. So it says here, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want you to know right here, it is okay to ask God for help. You should. But you have to make a mental note, and that mental note is this right here. There's some things only God can help you with. And you better identify the fact that when all of the chips are down, my help comes from one source, and that is the living God. Nobody, no person on this planet, no facility, no drug, no addiction, no nothing. Man, the help that you need, that is coming from God, nothing else. And if you haven't identified that and you're still going around in your life and you're still trying to figure out how in the world you're going to make it from point A to point B, you best have somewhere in there, look here, I need help, and God, I know that help. That help is only coming from you. So God, let me not be too prideful. Father in heaven, help me right now. God, I ask that you'd pour down your grace, because God, I need grace. Lord, I ask that you'd pour down provision, because God, I need provision. Lord, I ask you for health, God, because I'm not walking in divine health. See, it's not a problem to ask God for help. The problem is when we're too prideful and we just won't ask him for help. And then the problem is when we sit here, now I'm the world's worst at this. I will recognize that I need help, and I will identify that that kind of help is only coming from God, but then I want to have a little personal moment, and it's in these personal moments where we get off track. And I want to call people up, and I want to just get them in one mind and one accord with me on some things. Usually that's when I call my mama or my daddy or my sisters, and I want them to come into line with some ideas of mine. Okay? Look here. If it's a matter that only God can help you with, you need to shut up. And you need to quit talking to everybody about that. You need to talk to God about it. Because if your mama can't help you with it, you don't need to talk to her about it. What you need to, how many years do you want to waste talking about something? How much time do you want to waste talking about it? How much more would we rather just get through it and let's go forward? Stop talking about it to the wrong person. So identify the fact that your help is only coming from the Lord. In verse 3, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. I want to tell you something. We have to stop looking at our situations because nothing is exactly what it looks like. Nothing is what it really looks like in the natural realm. So you got to stop looking at the natural realm. You have to stop looking at it because it's going to discourage you. It's going to overwhelm you. It's going to depress you. It's going to make you sad. Say, God, help me to see this situation how you see it. How do you see it, God? Help me to look at it like that. Because at the end of the day, what we know about God is it says in His Word, Mara, that He won't even let our foot slip. Now, I have made a new executive rule for 2022 for everybody in the church. And here's the rule. And I want you all to really go with it. Eric's like, oh, my God, what is this chick about to say? Look here, brother, you're going to appreciate this. Here's the rule. Because, see, last year was rough. Nobody up in this place, I'm talking to all of you, including myself, are not allowed to fall. All right? There's been too much falling. And I'm not a good nurse. And I have a problem. I like to help everybody. And you don't need me up in your house playing nursey poo with you. Ask my mother how well of a nurse that I am. Wasn't good, was it? She fell last year. A couple other y'all fell. You hurt yourselves. She said, we was in the bathroom and we were doing bathroom things that you like to do by yourself. But when you break both of your wrists, you can't. She said, Kelly, all I got is you. And she named off a couple other people and she started crying. I started crying too because I felt so bad for her that she had me, that I was named off in that scenario. Thinking, God help mama. Because if I'm her help, she is in trouble. No more falling. Y'all think I'm joking, but I'm actually dead on serious. No more falling up in this place. But let me tell you something. Your help is coming from God, and He's not even going to let your foot slip. He's not even going to let your foot slip in the thing that you think is looking so big in your life. It says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Verse 5, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming, and the Lord will watch over your going, both now and forevermore. Both now and forevermore. Now, we live in a very now generation. We want everything now. We want to go to McDonald's and get it now. We want things now. And so why would God's promises, some of them are now promises. We just read one. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. Both now and forever. So when you feel intimidated, see, the problem is this right here. It's okay to ask God for help. So you've asked Him for help. God told you a direction to which you need to go. And people get very nervous about moving in the direction that God told them to move in. Moving and going forward is scary because you're dealing with the unknown. Amen? Look here. God will watch over your coming and your going both now and forever. So if you've got a bunch of anxiety built up about your situation, God's saying, I'm watching over your coming and going. I'm doing it now. I'm doing it in the future. Next place for me is Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. We're going to look at verse 21. Actually, we're going to look at 30 verses 18 through 21. And it says here, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Any pastor that will stand behind a pulpit and say, God's just looking to rough you up. God's looking to pay you back for all the terrible things you did. That's not a good pastor. Because what they should be saying to you is in verse 18, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He yearns to. He craves to be good to you. That's what his heart desire is to be good to you, to be compassionate to you, to be gracious to you. He rises. His whole day revolves around showing you compassion, showing you love, being good to you and helping you. That's what God aims to do with every single day of your life. It says, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those that wait for him. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. Look here. If you're in a place in your life where you need help, realize that you serve a gracious God, and he's waiting for you to ask. A lot of people say, well, God knows what I need. Why should I ask him? Well, it's very simple, because in the Word of God it says, ye have not because ye ask not. Amen. There's things that I know my kids need, and guess what? I'm waiting for them to ask me for it. Why? Because I'm trying to teach them a little bit of responsibility. How many of you like to eat chips? Okay, let me just tell you. On a hard day, to me, there ain't nothing better. There's these new kind of chips, and they are my absolute favorite. And they are called, they're by Cheez-Its, okay? And they're called Snapped. That describes my whole personality right there, just by the name of the chip, Snapped. And God does not want me watching the show Snap, because I'll be in prison. But I like to eat them Snapped chips. Okay, and the problem is, Angel, there ain't never enough of them, okay? But thank God for that, because once you get started on a bag of them, you're going to finish it. I get in there and I eat them chips. The other night, I had a hankering for them. Now, if you got kids, you know one thing. They're going to ruin a good binge session for you. Amen. And the way that they're going to do it is they're going to eat your favorite snack. I'm making sure none of them's in here. So I made a drawer in the house that has got Girl Scout cookies in there and my favorite chips and my favorite mints and my favorite candies and all the favorites, okay? And I'm praying to God that they don't sniff it out, because one thing that kids do is they sniff that stuff out. I don't know how they do it, but it's like there's something up in their nose that they sniff out all your goodies. So the other night I was thinking, I need to watch my favorite show, like an episode of it, and then I need to eat those chips. It's not even a want to at this point, it's a need to, because that's the kind of day I've had. I get in there, Sherry. They have eaten all the chips. Gary, I don't like that. Because here is the problem with me. I don't take to the word no real good, and I never have. Ask them. And when I get my heart set on something, and it's 10 o'clock, and I ain't getting it, that's a real bummer. And nothing is going to be right for the rest of the night after that. So the next morning, I said, I got a bone to pick with you two. And here it is. The moment that you think about eating my last snapped chip, you best tell me, because it ain't going to go good for you if I go for them one more time and they ain't in that drawer. Because when I need my chips, when I need my binging chips, I need my binging chips. You have not because you ask not. all they would have had to done was said, Mama, can I have some of your most favorite chips? And I would have said, yes, baby, you can, but what you can't do is eat the last one. And Carson said, well, you just save all the goody stuff for yourself. And I said, no, I'm not saying you can't have some, but what I am saying is you can't have the last of it unless you tell me. But we have not because we ask not. And does God know everything that you need? Yes, he does. Yes, he does know everything that you need. And you know what you need? A lot of times you need to hear yourself tell God and ask God what you need. Because there are times that you don't know what you need till you ask God and you hear it. Have you ever been talking out loud and you said something and you were like, you know what? I didn't even really realize that until I heard myself say it out loud. The other day, I got in my closet. Dale asked me the other day, what does your closet look like? You don't want to know. Yeah, it does have chips in it now. And sparkles and sequins and all sorts of things. But I got in my closet because that is the only place in my house I can just get away from people. And the person I wanted to get away from the most was myself. It was one of them kind of days where I had gotten on my own nerves. And I thought, I'm just going to get in this closet and just shut the light out and just try to get away from myself and everybody else. And I shut that closet door. And I said, God, I just really need your help. And God, I've just gone and gone and gone, and I can't recall a moment where I've just stopped and said, God, will you help me? Why don't people like to ask for help? Because they think they can do it on their own. We don't have the ability to. Are there some things you can manage on your own? Yes. Can you manage everything on your own? No. God never wanted you to either. If you've not had that moment with God and you're struggling right now, God's waiting. I tell the women at the jail this every Monday. There's probably not a Monday that goes by where I don't say, whatever you envision about God, I want you to know that he is the sweetest, most kindest, gracious God. And if anybody has told you any different, they've lied to you. And I've said, God is not going to burst your door down and yank you up by your weave. I say that because my kids came home and asked me what a weave was the other day. And they came home and said a few other things that shocked me beyond belief. And what did I do? Well, I've always been a tattletale. I told it to the teacher and the principal at parent-teacher conference. Because that's what you do about little children that are saying dirty things on the playground. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. Have yourself a moment with God and say, God, I really need your help. God is the God of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 where he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. See, we get into these battles in our lives where we feel like God is mad at us because we've screwed up. God is mad at us because we've sinned. God is mad at us because we fell back into something that we knew we shouldn't have. God is disappointed. God is all these things. Here's what I want to tell you about God today. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God is not mad at you. God is not holding a grudge against you. God is the God that he will stand at the door of your heart and he will knock and he will wait every single day till you let him in. It doesn't matter if it's the door of addiction. doesn't matter if it's the door of pain and suffering. It doesn't matter if it's the door where you feel like you'll never make it because you're just such in a moment of grief. See, God will stand at every door of your life, and He'll sit there and He'll knock at it. And He'll wait. Why? Because you know what? Anybody that's ever raised kids, here's what you find out real quick. A lot of times you got to make certain things their idea. Now, I know that that's not everybody's opinion, but let me tell you something. I'll send mine to with you. You'll have an outlook that you probably didn't have. But there are times where I know what my kids need. And I'll just wait for them. There's an instinct in me that I want to take care of it before they even ask. But what would that teach them? Are there times where I do that? Absolutely. But Miss Virginia, there's a lot of times the older that they get that I just wait. Why? Because they need to learn how to speak. Because you know what? By your words are you justified. When the Bible says you have not because you ask not, it's because a lot of people have a problem asking God for help. We'll ask God, God give me a new car, God give me a new house, God give me this and God give me that. Like we're wanting the lotto on all the material things. When really what we need, God help me with myself. God help me with my disaster. God help me with this chaotic life. So it says here, O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, This is the way, walk in it. I have no doubt that there are people in this room and you are in the valley of decision. Here's what God wants you to do. Come to that place where you ask Him for His will. Come to that place where you ask Him for help. Why do we not ask God for help? Well, for some of us, we just think we can do it all on our own. And we can't. And if we don't stop, we'll die trying. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. If you're not living in Him, you're not really living. If you're not being in Him, you've never really been. If you're not dwelling in Him, well, then ask yourself, where am I dwelling? Come to the place where you just say, God, I need your help. God, I look at the situation and I can recognize that this help that I need isn't coming from anybody but you. God, I've tried to do it on my own. God, I've tried to figure it all out. God, your ways are so much higher than my ways. So God, forgive me for doing your job or trying to. And Lord, I ask that you'd help me. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 9 and 10. I want to tell you, we're talking about asking God for help today. God has taken you from disaster. He's taken you from yourself. He's been so faithful to you. If you can look back and see a moment where God wasn't there for you, then come see me after church because, see, you're not going to find one. You may find moments where He didn't do something how you wanted Him to or how you thought He was going to. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 9, I took you from the ends of the earth and from its farthest corners I called you. Why should you ask God for help? Because God's the one that's been dealing with you since before you were knit together in your mother's womb. He knows the blueprints of your life. See, in that closet, Angel, what I had to come to God and I had to say, Lord, I need your help. God, I don't need this one's help. I don't need that one's help. But God, I need your help. God, I need your help because I know that you are the only one that knows in its entirety how this situation is going to go. And God, more than anything else, I want it to go your way. God, I want your will to be done. You got to come to that place where you just say, you know what, God? Help me. God, don't take me out of the problem. Don't zap me out of it. God, help me to walk through it. I've prayed so many times, God, just take this problem away. Ugh, I don't like problems. I don't like hard things. I don't like confrontation. I don't like this. Look here, it's never been about what you liked. There are things that my children don't like, but there are also things that are best for my children. That's a good parent. Not everything that you like is going to happen for you all the time. But when you've placed yourself in the palm and in the very center of God's will, what you get is what is best for you. You may not like it, but nothing is what it seems in the moment. If you're facing something that right now looks so big to you and you're thinking, how will I ever be again? You will. You will. But you're going to have to ask for some help. And you're going to have to put that pride to the side and realize he's the only one that can help you. I said, you are my servant, and I have chosen you and have not rejected you. See, have you rejected Christ today? It's okay if you have. A lot of people just want to be so mad when people don't do exactly what they think that they should do. And church people are the worst. I mean, let's keep it real, okay? Church people are the worst. I know that because I've been up in ministry for 36 years. Okay, see, church people are the worst, right? I'm the worst. Pastors are the worst, okay? We're like, ugh, God, when are they going to get it right? God, I'm going to need more chips for this situation. By the time I get done eating them things, I ain't going to be able to fit my Easter dress. Problems and problems, Lucas. That's right. These are real life problems. But let me tell you something. How many of you love your church? Your church loves you. But let me tell you something. Don't be a hypocrite. Ain't nothing worse than a self-righteous church-going hypocrite. All right? So when you're looking at Sally Sue, and she's been a royal disaster, and she's gone off and done something for the umpteenth time, be quiet about it. And try a new tactic. And the tactic is this right here. Keep your mouth shut, first of all. Second of all, keep your butt off of your phone from gossiping about them to other churchgoers. And number three, pray for them. Pray for them. And don't pray some dumb religious prayer, okay? Because, see, God doesn't accept dumb religious prayers. What he does accept is this right here. In his word, he says, now, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You're going to be righteous or you're going to be self-righteous, but you can't be both. So you best decide which kind of a church-going person you're going to be. Now, if you're self-righteous, God's not going to be able to do a lot with you. If you'll keep it real and just be flat-out righteous, you're going to be on your way. We have not because we ask not. Ask God for help. And if you're asking God for help when it concerns another person, don't be giving God the nonsense about how much you can't stand what that person's done or what they've whatever. Say, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you've always helped me through my dumb shenanigans. Let's keep that fact real. So, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I get on my knees and I ask you to help Sally Sue because, God, I don't know what Sally Sue is going through, but what I'm not going to do is judge Sally Sue. God, I lift her up to the throne room of where you're at, and, God, I just ask that you bless her and direct her. That's what a saved person does. See, you've been helped so you can help others. And what's not helpful is judging. You really want to do something with your life? Great. The first step is shutting your mouth. I'm really on one today. I have to stop meddling. I'll be getting a bunch of hate messages on Messenger. You are preaching right at me. Let's just set the record straight. Before I can preach to y'all, I preach first and foremost to myself. Okay? I got to preach this stuff to myself because sometimes I'm a real judgmental little bitty. And then I got to ask forgiveness for that. And my dad was saying something so funny the other day because it's so real. He goes, Kelly, I've never met a more repentant person than myself. And I can be quick to repent. And in my head, Angel, this is what I thought. And this is such a rebellious thought. But I'll own it. I said, my approach is quite different. I try not to do things that's going to require me to repent because Lord knows I got a problem repenting. I could ask God for the help with that all day long, but the truth of the matter is I got issues in that department. Somebody said, how can you be such and such and be a pastor? And very simple. God knows one thing about me, actually two. I'll suit up and I'll show up, and I'll do some of the hardest things, and I'll say whatever he wants me to say. The world's got too many pastors that won't just say it. And we've got generations to show how that has worked out. And it hasn't worked out real great. Because what happens is when you won't address real life problems, everything goes right over everybody's head. Yeah, if I said something that just really sticks with you, there you go. If you didn't like it, even better. Why? Because it was for you. I can't tell you how many times I've been offended in church. How many of you have ever been offended in church? Okay. You probably grew, didn't you? I grew in two ways. I ate more chips. And I grew to grow up and say, you know what? Brother Angelo's probably right. The deacon getting on to my kids, they probably needed to be gotten on too.
Dad's like, amen, they do. I know.
Tell me nothing I don't know. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 7 through 8. There's a lot of power in asking. There's a lot of power in asking. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. In 2019, I said, God, what do you want me to ask for? It was in January. I don't do New Year's resolutions because I'm not that committed. I can't stick to them. There's no way I'm going to lose 20 pounds just because I came up with an idea on January 1st. It's not going to happen. God, show me what you want me to pray for. What do you want me to ask for? In 2019, he said, Kelly, ask me for Logan County. And I said, okay. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you for Logan County. And to whatever capacity you want to give it to me, I ask you for it. I didn't ask you for it because it was my idea. I asked you for it because it was your idea. A lot of people say, are you that loudmouth blonde pastor that feeds all the old folks? That's me. They don't know what to say now because, see, I'm doing a new thing with this hair. I'm darkening it. And it kind of throws them off. I need to be able to commit a crime and not be identified. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Get so uptight. But ask, seek, and knock. Ask, seek, and knock. And then he said, Kelly, seek me about a manna center. And I said, what is a manna center? And he said, a manna center is a place that I want to give Paris Christian Center because I gave manna to the Israelites every day without fail. I provided for them every day. If you'll ask God, if you'll seek God, and then what did I do? Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you begin to knock on some doors. Now look here. Here's one thing. I'm not afraid to ask. And I darn sure ain't afraid to knock on no doors. I just started knocking on doors of that. Look here. God's got open doors for you that no man can shut. And to the person that's having issues being angry with God, if you're mad at him because he closed doors that you couldn't open back up after he closed them, it was for your own good. It was for your own good. There's doors that God has shut in my life before. And I was so mad at God about it. But I was able to look back and I was able to say, God, I know you did that for my own good. So God, thank you for loving me enough that you did something that you knew I wasn't going to like, but you did it anyways. See, if you're going to ask God for something, what you need to know is when you ask him, you're asking him to do something that you can't. And when you ask somebody to do something that you can't do, they're going to come in and they're going to do it. But there's going to be a stipulation there. They're going to do it how they need to do it. That's going to work best. I remember about 10 years ago, actually probably about 11, we were living over on a house on Bryan Street. And I was so proud of that house. It's the first house I'd ever bought. And I bought a stove. And at that point in time, I had no idea that you got to check them stoves out. Because I had no clue there was a difference between gas and electric. I mean, I had no clue. It's like, I'm just going to both buy stuff that's pretty. I mean, that's all I cared about. The stove to look attractive in the kitchen. I got in there. John, I couldn't hook that stove up because it didn't have a plug-in because it was something crazy. I said, who do I know that can fix this problem for me? Because I've done a no-no on this purchase. Here's what I did. Brother Larry? Brother Larry? I bought something. And did you know that you got to be careful about them appliances that you get? Brother Larry? Do you by any chance know how to fix this problem for me? Because I don't think they're taking this stove back.
He goes, I'll be right over.
And he pulled out some wires, and he got some things going with that. You going to be too prideful, or you going to suck it up, and you're just going to ask God for some help? Now, look here. When God comes in and he helps you, he's going to do it his way. And when he does it his way, you need to fight the urge to be mad at him about it. Because here's what you can bet on. Whatever you let God do in your life, you will, without a doubt, be able to step back. It may be a year from now. It may be 5 years from now. It may be 10 years down the road from now. But you will be able to look back and you will be able to say, God, thank you. God, thank you. At the time, God, that was the most painful thing. But God, I want to thank you. Because God, that thing, that valley, that place that hurt me so bad, that made me. Christians ain't made on the mountaintop, baby. They made and developed in the valley. You ain't going to ask God for Logan County and the devil let you have it. You're going to go through some stuff. When we developed the Bain Center and we took a nasty, disgusting, drug house infested place from Satan, and we turned it to a place where drug addicts could come in and get free. You don't think that our personal family sacrificed some things in the spirit realm for that? We've been to hell and back. Look here. We ain't mad about it. What did it do? Develop souls. Stop being mad about what God did and how he did it. Know this. You're going to look back and you're going to thank him for that. You're going to thank him for it. John chapter 14, verse 12. Anybody that watches the clock, I've got 13 more minutes. I'm going to use 12 of them. There you go. Laugh about it. John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Look here, you have not because you asked for it. If it's of God and it's God's will, ask him for it. Ask him. Don't be afraid to ask him. Ask him. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall ask God, they will be saved. It didn't say all the perfect people. Didn't say all the pretty folks. Didn't say all the successful folks and all the things that we use to disqualify ourselves. It said anybody. Anybody. Anybody can call on me. And the moment that they ask me, the moment that they come to me and they ask for help, I'm gonna help them. I'm going to save them. How many times has God saved you from yourself? How many times has God told you no? Sometimes we're mad and we say, God, why did you say no? Why did you shut that door? Learn to go with it. go with the flow. Go with the flow. If it's God's flow, go with it. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request. Ask God, and the peace of God. See, there's an order. God is not a God of disorder, but God is a God of order. See, and there's a way that he wants you to go about asking and doing. And it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is going to guard your heart, and it's going to guard your mind. It's going to guard your heart, and it's going to guard your mind. We were sitting out Wednesday, and I love Wednesdays. Love them. And you can meet some very interesting people on Wednesdays. I'm going to leave it at that. And I can always tell when God sends somebody, because it's a beautiful thing when God will plant somebody in a church and send them, because I can always tell when God's doing that. And Jennifer came, and she began to volunteer. And I don't think I ever even invited Jennifer to church, because really, I don't have to stand on my head and invite every person that comes out there to church. Because look here, you know what I have faith in? That God will draw people. And let me just tell you something else. I ain't got to go down to any other church and try to snag people up out of there, because that is not true evangelism. This is not fill a church pew Sunday. And I don't operate that way, because I don't see God operate that way. And I've learned that there are some things that I am not good at. But he has sent me some people that are good at them. And one thing that I'm not good at is being Dr. Phil. Amen. And that's taken me 3 years of pastoring to discover I'm not good at being Dr. Phil. Because I'm not as patient as Dr. Phil. And there was this lady there, and she was talking, and she was talking about life things. And Jennifer said something very intelligent. I love when I hear intelligent things. Because I hear a lot of dumb things. And she said, she let this lady talk. And she said, okay, what you need to do, stop thinking with your heart. Think with your mind. And you make your decision based on that. Because you know what? Your heart is deceptive. I said, I'm going to leave you two to it, because this is not my area of expertise. Sometimes the reason why we don't ask for help is because when God gives us the help that we need, it's going to break your heart. Why? Because sometimes what's best for you isn't what you want. That's why. God loves y'all so much. Last place for me, Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to talk to that person right now that you're saying, God, this is so heavy. This is so heavy for me. God, this is so heavy and I can't carry it anymore. God, I need your help. I cannot do it on my own. I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you to respond to the word. This may not be for everybody or maybe for every single person, but if you're in a place right now in your life and you say, God, I really need help. I've come to that place where I'm struggling and it's difficult. And God, I don't want Sally Sue's help. I don't want my neighbor's help. God, this kind of help, only you can do it. Only you, God. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. Why? Because, see, God wants to fill them. God wants to fill them. If you were standing because you needed help with something that somebody could do for you besides Jesus, see, that would be a different story. God, in Jesus' name, every person standing, God, every person with their hands up, God, my hands are up. Lord, I ask you right now for help. Lord, I ask you for your direction. God, I thank you right now for your perfect will. Somebody in here needs to understand that God has a perfect will for your life. If you will surrender the choice to him, he will give it to you. You either want his perfect will or nothing at all. What do you want? You need to make that decision in here today. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, let your will be done. God, let it rise to the surface exactly what it is. God, make it dummy proof so we know what it is. Lord, help us to see it. God, bring it about to where it is very evident. And Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, there are some goodies back there. Brother Sam is going to go to the fridge real quick because we have some cheeses that we're going to give out.